This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ustad Asara Sultan, LMHC. Ustad Asara Sultan is a licensed professional counselor having obtained a master's degree in mental health counseling and has practiced therapy for nearly 10 years. She is both a research fellow at Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research, a teacher at Mishkat University, and one of the newest instructors here at Al-Maghrib. With her commitment to her work and fascination with the intersections between Islamic spirituality, psychology, and counseling, Ustad Asara brings a unique insight into the field of knowledge absolutely critical for the modern Muslim community.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Jazakumullah khair for your patience, and all of the speakers before are right. That was very awkward, but jazakumullah khair for the honorable introduction. So the last 4 months, as we've been talking about throughout today, have naturally been very, very tough for us to witness. The pain, the anger, the anxiety associated with the unpredictability of what the future looks like, everything that we have seen, and things that we continue to see that continue to be very overwhelming. But our ummah, as we're hearing here today, is not unfamiliar with challenges, is not unfamiliar with these emotions. Our history is filled with loss. Our history is filled with triumphs that go all the way back to the beginning of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. He says, "Am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannah?" Do you think that you will be admitted into paradise? "Walamma ya'tikum mathalu alladhina khalaw min qablikum," without being tested like those before you. "Massathumul ba'sa'u wad-dara'u," they were afflicted with suffering and adversity and were so violently shaken, so violently rocked. That even the messenger and the believers with him, they cried out. And what did they ask? They asked, "Mata Nasrullah?" When will Allah's help come? And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond with? "Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb," that indeed Allah's help is always near. And if there's one thing to leave with today, it's the reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is here, it is near, and it's not going anywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is always with us. And so the fact is that we know that we are being tested by merely witnessing what is happening to our brothers and sisters. From China to Sudan to Palestine, we are being tested through this. And it's painful when we feel powerless, when we feel unable to evoke change. But remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always near, His help is always near, and that we're never powerless when we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, on top of it all, is amplified when you go through your own personal struggles. Our struggles cannot compare to theirs. But in reality, you're all struggling. You all have your hardships. You all have your difficulties. And you face them along with facing the difficulties of our brothers and sisters. So we've all been thrust into situations, into roles that we didn't anticipate, sometimes ones that we didn't even want, right? Whether on an ummah scale or on a personal level. And that's often the hardest part. It's the surprise. The surprise and the shock that comes with the unpredictable tests that we're faced with. Whether this is witnessing genocide, whether it's hearing cruel words spoken by someone you love when you never thought they would come out of their mouth, whether it's the car accident on the way to work that blindsides you out of nowhere, or whether it's being blindsided by the lack of compassion and the lack of empathy of the world in what we're witnessing. It is often the shock that's the hardest part. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ reminds us that patience is at the first strike, because that's the hardest time. when you are shocked and when something happens. And I want you all to imagine in your lives, you've all experienced these unanticipated moments, these unanticipated changes, these unanticipated tests that shock you and worry you and bring up the anxiety and the fear. And so how do we deal with those? How do we navigate them? How do we face them with perseverance and with faith and with resilience? How do we hold on to that faith rather than allowing it to trickle through our fingers at the time when we need that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most? And so I wanted to delve into the story of a beautiful woman to teach us how we can step up, how we can face our struggles head on instead of hoping they're going to disappear, instead of hoping somebody else is going to handle them for us. And this is a woman who is very near and dear to my heart. Her story is very near and dear to my heart because my own daughter is her namesake. She was named after her. And that is Safiya radiallahu anha, the aunt of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Safiya radiallahu anha dealt with loss after loss after loss and unimaginable hardships, as so many of the companions did during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one theme that I noticed in her story throughout all of the stories of her life that I read was this unfailing decision to step up, to face the struggles head on. And this is something that I want us all to leave with, is that she was not a passive participant in her life. She was an active participant in her life, and she wasn't a bystander. She didn't allow her life story to pass her by. She was an upstander. She stood up in every possible circumstance, and that's our goal, to do the same. And so I want to focus on two particular stories from her life that I found very moving, and the lessons that we can gain from her example, inshallah. So one story, the first story, begins with the Battle of Uhud. Now, Uhud was a very, very difficult time for the Muslims. It was a very difficult day where it was said that there was not one family in Medina who wasn't grieving. There was not one family in Medina who wasn't touched by loss. So the entire city was in mourning. And one of those who was lost, one of those who passed away in this battle, was Hamza, radiallahu anhu. He was known as the Lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was also the beloved brother of Safiya, radiallahu anha. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the body of Hamza radiallahu anhu, and keep in mind, he wasn't just killed, he was very violently mutilated. One of the first thoughts that came to his mind was, I don't want Safiya to see her beloved brother in this way. I don't want her to deal with the trauma of this situation. And so he tells her son, Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, go and find her, go and find your mother, and make sure she doesn't see the body of Hamza radiallahu anhu. And so Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he goes and he tries to find her. And as the women raced onto the battlefield, as they do after battle, looking for their loved ones, he sees his mother, Safiya radiallahu anha, and she is battling her way through the battlefield. In some narrations, she has a dagger. In other narrations, she has a spear. But she is quite literally battling her way through the battlefield. And this tells you a lot about her personality and one of the reasons why I love her so much. And so she's searching for her brother. The other thing she has in her hand is a shroud. She has the material to bury her brother Hamza radiallahu anhu in. And so she sees her son and she asks, I heard that Hamza was killed. And if this is true, I'll be patient and seek the reward of Allah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine hearing news like that? And that's the response. Incredible conviction, incredible resilience, incredible trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhu confirms this, she, look at what she does. When she's able to go to the body of Hamza radiallahu anhu and she witnesses his body that has been mutilated, tears begin to fall from her eyes. This was one of the closest people to her. So much of her life revolved around him. She loved him so deeply. And what does she say? She says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Indeed, to Allah we belong and to Him we return. And then she asks, oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, forgive him. Look at that. Incredible, subhanAllah. And she stays with his body late into the night and constantly, constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for him, making dua for him. And her heart is so deeply connected to him, but her heart is even more deeply connected to the one, the only one who can help him at that point, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what does she do? She makes dua for him. She embraces her grief. She allows herself to feel her grief. She accepts her grief. And she acknowledges Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one who knows, as the best of planners. But she also says, and I love this dua, she says, oh Allah, I seek the reward of this loss with you. She knows that this pain is unbearable, unimaginable, unanticipated, and that she can't deal with it without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's what she does. She seeks the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that He witnesses every single bit of that pain, and that He witnesses every single bit of the pain that we struggle with too, and that our brothers and sisters struggle with as well. And so in her grief, she composed these lines of poetry expressing her sadness for the loss of Hamza radiallahu anhu. This was a team effort to try to translate this from the original Arabic, which is so beautiful. This was a team effort from Sheikh Ammar, Sheikh Ibrahim, Sheikh Hana, who was honored earlier today, so it took a lot of people to try to translate this. And I took a little bit of creative liberty to try to get it to rhyme. So these are the lines that she mentioned about the loss of her brother. She said, the news bearer said, Hamza has fallen, the lieutenant of the Messenger of Allah. And what an excellent lieutenant he was. Invited by the possessor of the throne, the God of truth, to gardens where he will live in joy, fully soothed. Indeed, this is what we hoped for and sought. For Hamza on the day of gathering, what better abode, what better destination could we ever have thought? By Allah, I shall never forget you as long as the north wind continues to blow. In my present and my future path, my weeping continues as my tears endlessly flow. As I grieve the loss of a lion by whom Islam was guarded, with goodness may the best brother and supporter be rewarded. So these were some of her words upon the death of her brother, radiallahu anhu. And so through these words, through her actions, we learned several things. The first is that when we accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean that we don't feel the pain. You can accept the decree of Allah during the most difficult time in your life and still feel the grief and still feel the pain, and it doesn't mean that you're not accepting the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that you like it. It means that you trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is beyond our own. So even if it's not what we would have chosen for ourselves, we know that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses for us is better, even if it doesn't feel that way. The other thing that we learn from her is to allow ourselves to feel this emotion. We see that her tears were flowing. We see that in her poem, she says, I'm going to remember you forever. I'm going to grieve this loss forever. And then she channels it into dua. When you are having your most difficult moments, use those emotions to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Channel those emotions into dua. And turn to the one in whose hands is everything. Every goodness, every ease, every success comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So turn to Him during those difficult times. And then we finally see something which is the signature of Safiya radiallahu anha. That these moments, if you think about a moment that was really hard in your life, where you lost something, where something shocked you, where it was unanticipated, those are the moments we hold on to forever. Those are the moments we remember forever. Who do you want to be in those moments? How do you want to look back on yourself and how you handled yourself in those moments? We can't control the circumstances that we're dealt, but we can control our response to them. And we see that the way Safiya radiallahu anha navigated it was she gave Hamza radiallahu anhu the last gift he would get in this life, which was the shroud he was buried in. And she gave him the gifts that would benefit him in the next life, which were the dua that she made for him. What gifts can you give yourself for your life now and in the akhirah based on the way that you deal with the challenges that you're faced? That's the question to keep in mind. And that's the example that we learn from Safiyyah radiallahu anha. Now, the last story, and I will keep it short. If you know anything about Safiyyah radiallahu anha, this is the story you know. And this is my favorite story from her life. This happened during the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. And so during battle times, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make the women and children and the elderly, they would be in a fortified area to protect them. And so Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he's narrating this incident that occurred when the women, children, elderly are in this fortress. And he was a poet. He was not a warrior. So he wasn't able to engage in the battles in the same way. And so he was in this fortress as well. And so he's narrating that Safiyyah radiallahu anha, she noticed from atop the fortress, she noticed that there was a man walking around, or a couple of men, and they were looking, you know, they were looking a little bit suspicious, or as my son would say, sus. They were looking sus, right? And so she's watching, and she's like, this is one of the enemies, and they're trying to see, are there weapons? Are there men? Are there warriors in this fortress? If they find out that there are none, we're done. They're going to attack because there's nobody to defend us. So Safiyyah radiallahu anha turns to Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anha and she says, go handle him, go deal with him. And he tells her, I'm not a warrior. If I was a warrior, I'd be on the battlefield, not here with you guys. You know, like that's not why I'm here. And so she says, okay. She hides behind the door. She takes a pole. And as this man comes around the corner, she attacks him with the pole and single-handedly kills him. And I want you to keep in mind, at this point, she was in her 50s. Because she's only about a year older than the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So she's not a young woman. She's in her 50s and she does this. And so she kills this man and she's on top of the roof. So she doesn't just do that. She throws the body off the top of this fortress to convey to them, hey, we're not defenseless. There are warriors in here, even if she's the only warrior there, right? We're not defenseless. And so they see this and they say, okay, we're not going to mess with this place. We're going to leave. Single-handedly defended the women, children, and the elderly from attack, subhanAllah. And when the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard this story, he said, innaha Safiyyah. He said, that is Safiyyah. That's the only one who could do something like that. That's like, she's so unique. She stepped up, she used her strength, she used her persistence, and she was the one who defended all of these people. And so what are the lessons that we leave with to end this talk from this incident? Sometimes you are placed in a position that is unique. Sometimes you didn't anticipate that position. Sometimes you didn't choose that position. But your one choice in that moment can affect so much. And we see that in the story of Safiyyah. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you an opportunity that you didn't expect, you didn't even want it, but grasp it. Why? Because first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that He doesn't burden a soul beyond what it can bear. And second, this situation is tailored to you. There's a reason it was Safiyyah radiallahu anha, right? Not somebody else. So what situation in your life is being tailored to you that you need to face? And then the second is that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places you in a situation, a role, you didn't anticipate it. You didn't seek it out, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And reframing this as an opportunity is very powerful. Asking yourself, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala positioning you to become because of this struggle? What traits and qualities are you gaining through this that you never would have otherwise had? And this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, to realize that in some situations, you are uniquely positioned to make a difference. That you are uniquely equipped to create change, to handle something only you can do. And it makes all the difference. So asking yourself, how many opportunities does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place in our path, but we ignore them because we think we're not capable? We think we can't do it. We wait for somebody else to handle it. We wait for somebody else to donate. We wait for somebody else to post. We wait for somebody else to step up. And then we become bystanders in our own lives instead of upstanders in the way that Safiyyah radiallahu anha was. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in the path of this struggle, in the path of this opportunity, you are capable of facing it, you are capable of rising through it, and you are capable of thriving through it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to be upstanders like the amazing, strong, and resilient, fierce Safiya radiallahu anha, and grant us all the ability to face our struggles in a way that brings us closer to Him. Allahumma ameen.